Yeah. Hey, will somebody flip on just that backlight back there? Also, I know we did this, Bishop did this before, but people weren't in here. If you were on the kitchen, if you worked in the kitchen, will you just stand up? Is Linda in here? Linda T, stand up. All her help. Andrew, Shirley, everybody. Who else was in the kitchen? Donna. Yeah, honor these guys, y'all. Amen. 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 That was so good. Let's see what the Lord wants to do. Bishop, you think we should go into a time of testimony now? She's up here. Yeah, we've got several people. You want to share your story? Okay.
Well, my grandma could probably share some, but we were praying for her and Joy and Wendy. They prayed in Africa for a woman that had cataracts, I think. And they saw my grandma had some whiteness on her eye, so they asked to pray for her. And she's only kind of been able to read large print, and she's like a reader. And they brought over the Bible, and she was able to read the small print in the Bible.
Hey, man, that's so cool. All right, who wants to share a testimony? Come on. Come on. Yeah, come up here. Carly, come here. Abby, come on. If you want to share what the Lord has either done in you this weekend or healings that you saw today, and maybe it wasn't a healing, but you spoke life into somebody and you saw them come alive, we want to hear those testimonies, okay?
All right.
Okay. So talk slow. Hold the mic up here.
Okay. I have a few things. I'll try and keep it quick.
Yeah, pick your favorite.
Okay. They're all kind of short and okay. Cool. Okay. So first night I was here, you might have noticed that I dance a lot. The first night I was here, all of a sudden I got this vision, and I was in the throne room. I was dancing among angels and stuff. And the thought came to me, like the scripture of if they don't cry out, the rocks will. Yeah. And I was like, I don't want to be just like a step above a rock, you know? I wanted to dance like angels. So, yeah, the second day I danced so hard I almost threw up. can I share the
share
other?
More.
Okay, so when I came up here today, and there was the whole thing about the tingling in the left hand sort of thing, at first, at Eucharist, Miss Sally came up, and she said her arthritis was acting up in her left hand, and we prayed, and the pain was gone. Hallelujah.
His sister was in a not-so-good abusive relationship, and so I decided to give him word, and I was like, God is putting a hedge of protection over your family, and everyone's going to be okay. And he was kind of like, whoa. And so then we just prayed for him, and we all noticed that he was crying, and I just really felt like we impacted him a lot, and that we really gave him some hope for things that he was going through.
Amen.
There was one, the prophetic was opened up, but there was one more word that was released about his brother, one of these guys had it. It was really cool because they were talking about him just being a role model or something like that, and it pierced him. It was awesome.
Amen.
Also, team leaders, if somebody's sharing, and you can add some pieces they're forgetting to tell, stand up and tell them. Or maybe you have someone on your team that are too shy, then stand up and encourage them to tell. Help them out.
All right, so there's a woman that we saw, and she was complaining about her knees and her stomach hurting her. And so we prayed the blood of Jesus over, and she became healed.
Amen.
And then I think it was her husband. What do you have?
Yeah.
Trigger finger?
Trigger finger is his thumb. And he couldn't heal him. like a race with the stuff.
Is our,
he didn't move his stuff. When we left, he was moving his stuff.
Amen.
Amen. It's cool. When we pulled into the parking lot, the first family that we saw standing outside their car, it's a family. And the grandmother was standing out there, and we went up to her and said, "Hey, look, I'll pray for you." And she was like really excited, and she said both of her knees were hurting her really bad and stiff, and she said in her stomach. So Briar prayed for her knees, and her knees were completely healed immediately. And then Laura prayed for her stomach, and she said, "Oh, you know, it's not really that much better." So Laura prayed for her second time, and her stomach got totally healed.
Amen.
Then after that happened, her daughter was getting in the car, goes, "I want him to pray for me." And so there was a prophetic word they had for her. It was really cool. So.
Amen. Awesome.
Okay, so before we went to like the best place, Winn-Dixie's, of course. Rosemary was like, "Okay, does anyone have like a specific thing you want to look for?" And in my head, for like the past 2 days, when I was told we're gonna go pray for people, there's like this image of like this woman, like this black lady in the store, and she looked like out of it. Like, and then Rosemary was like, "Well, she'll probably have kids." So then we went in, one of the first people was a black lady who had kids. And then the next one was also a black lady who had a child. So, you know, it was very convenient. But there was a man who, well, before this, I said, "Okay, let's go to the pharmacy. This is the best place because people are always in pain when they're in the pharmacy." So, best idea. There was a lady who was going to like get some like medicine at the counter, but then she was talking to like another person, so we waited. But there was a dude who was in front of us, and Rosemary was like, "Oh, why don't we go pray for him? You know, I can feel, you know, something." I'm like, "All right, you go start, because I'm not, no." But he was like, well, we asked him, "What do you want to pray for?" He's like, "I've been dealing with like a lot of, you know, like depression." And after we prayed for him, he said like his like pain, like emotional pain, was like a 6, 7. And after we prayed for him, he didn't say the number. He was just, he looks like he was going to cry. I was like, "All right, you know, some good stuff." But then when we were going to leave to, there was like a Hispanic woman behind us, and she thanked us. She's like, "He's been dealing with this for a really long time. I want to thank you." And so I'm like, "Well, you know, we did some justice, I guess."
Do you want me to say it?
I guess so.
Oh, yeah, Elijah. I think about 5. I'm making sure. So, George, you want me to say it? So, George. So, George would.
Then somebody gave some words about slaying dragons. So we give this word to this person, we pray for them. And then this other lady said, I've got this word in me that I've been carrying around. I just want to give it. I don't know, can I give it to y'all? And we said, yeah. And she said, God is just saying, don't let even the smallest thing keep you from believing that God can use you the way he says he wants to use you. Because God wants to use you to slay dragons.
Amen. So I'm going to say this one for George because he's nervous, but it's okay. Same with Dixie's, perfect place. Go there, really good. We were about to leave. It was like almost 3, and George was like, maybe we should go. We're going to get late. And Rosemary was like, no, let's squeeze in one more purse, just one more. And so reluctantly, George followed us to like the ice cream aisle. And then Rosemary was like, I see a man right there. We're going to pray for him. Let me trip him real quick. The man walks up, and Rosemary's like, oh, would you want us to pray for you? Because, you know, and he's like, well, I'm fine. I just want to have more strength in the Lord. And she's like, this is the best prayer. Let's do it. So she grabs George. She's like, George, why don't you pray for him? And, of course, George was, like, nervous. But, you know, it's fine. We all get first prayer jitters. And as we were praying after Alexis' turn, the guy we prayed for, Willie, started praying for us. And it was really weird. I'm like, is he really, why is this happening? Like, this isn't how it works, right? Because you're, okay. And after we were done, he said, you know, I'm thankful that, like, you're telling the youth to go out there and pray and do all this really cool stuff. And then he told George not to be scared because, you know, Willie was also scared and he had to pray for people outside of his comfort zone. And, of course, George was scared, but, you know, it's fine. So if we left, we wouldn't have counted Willie. And we wouldn't have been blessed. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay.
I'm up here to encourage her because I drug her up here.
Okay, so we were at, this is our third person that we prayed for that day, up today, and we were at, like, a car fixing place. I forgot what it's called.
They did tinted windows.
Yeah, they did tinted windows for cars. And we prayed for this guy named Philip, but we're not going to talk about him. We're going to talk about Warren. And we talked about Warren, and we prayed for Warren, and he had, like, something in him that was hurting him. So we prayed for him.
What? And real weakness.
Oh, yeah, weakness. He, wasn't able to move that much. And we prayed for him, and he said that his pain level was, like, at a 6 or a 5. And
six.
Yeah, 6. And so we prayed for him some more.
When we asked him, he said it was at a 6.
Oh, yeah, he said it was at a 6. And so when we prayed for him, he said that it went up to a 10. But he was thinking of, like, 1 as the worst and 10 as the best. So we were like, okay.
Let me add into that. We prayed for him, and he said, I need another shot. You know, like, how often do they do that? And I thought, well, we haven't asked about the pain issue. And so I asked, I said, well, what 1 to 10, what's your pain? And he said, 6. And I thought, okay, well, what did you feel like before we prayed for him? And he said, a 3. And this little girl, she said.
I got scared. I was like, what did you do?
I was like, we're killing him. We can't pray no more.
We're done, huh?
We're done. He goes to a 1, he's dead. You know, and she looks at me, and she goes, I think he's backwards. So he had been out of 1 or 3, which was he in his mind, that was the worst. And so, anyway, she looked at me, and I was saving me on that one.
So, like, he said that I need 1 more prayer because he said that I just need 1 more, and I was like, okay. And so we prayed for him, and he said that it went up to a 10, which was good. And but before that, we were praying for Philip, and when we were done praying for Philip, I saw Warren watching us. So when we approached him, I could already see him, that he's like, yeah, you need to pray for me because, you know, I can't handle this anymore.
And so we prayed for him, and I was praying, and I really felt something in him, like a source of like strength, even though he thought he was weak or something like that. Yeah. So yeah.
Good job.
Amen. Amen. This is awesome. Okay, so for time's sake, guys, I'm going to give you 60 seconds. So you got to give us, that's 1 minute. So you got to give us the short version so that everybody can talk. So that's all. You got 60 seconds.
It's quicker than that. I have nothing to say. Anna's got to say it. That's why I'm here. You got to say it.
What?
Just, we were on the right track. We were so on the right track that the enemy sent Legion after us. Queenie. She called you by name.
Yeah.
We were just on the right track.
Yeah,
just she tried to stop us.
Anna just had someone just try to speak death over her, but it really brought out light, and we dealt with it. And it was awesome because we're not going to glorify the enemy because the Lord had all the victory, and it just really showed Anna that her destiny is sealed in the Lord. It was really cool.
We were just so on the right track.
Yeah.
She was trying to distract us. So they
just hit this to shred, awesome. And covered it and broke it, and it was awesome. Just proved to Anna that she's on the right path that the Lord's got her on. All right, Ollie, 60 seconds.
So about 5 weeks ago, I got diagnosed with anxiety and depression, and last night I got set free from it.
Yeah, baby. All right, come on, darling. All right, 60 seconds.
So when we were out praying for people, we went to the cafe, and while we were here praying about what we should go after for the
healing.
You
went to the coffee shop.
I imagined I saw a blue shirt or a orange shirt with a little bit of black on it, with blue jeans, and we went there, and one of the ladies that worked there had the orange shirt and the jeans, and I also heard knee pain. So when we went to her, we asked her if she had any pain, and she said no, but we told her about the youth group and stuff, and she of course, we got it easy, so she was a Christian, but she said we could always use some prayer, so we just prayed for everyone.
Hey, man, that's awesome. Yeah, they prayed for the whole coffee shop. All right, you got another testimony.
Yeah,
she had a good day. All
right, go for it, man.
Okay, so we had, so time was running out. We had one more person to pray for. He said, someone was in here, though, later. And he said that we had one more person that we could pray for. So we were walking down the aisles, and I saw this lady, and it just was like something pops in my mind, like, you need to pray for her. So I said, how about her? So we turned around and for her. So we said, how can we pray for you? And she said, well, I'm fine, but my husband's mom just died. And so we got to pray for him, and he started kind of crying, it looked like it. And it was awesome.
To speak life into that, and you're the one who had the word of knowledge about the knees, right, and saw the lady. Yeah, so it's a good day, huh? Good day. Amen. You got one?
Yeah. So we were all in the same team with Bishop, and we had a great time. There was a woman who was walking, and she came out, and I looked at her cart, and one of the ways that God does speak to me is through things I see around me. And I looked down, and I saw there was this fruit drink that was called Hug. And I went, oh, and I looked at her and I go, do you need a hug? And she's like, yeah. So I gave her the longest hug, and then we just started to talk to her. And she said that her son, who was in his 20s, was moving away from God, and she felt like he was lost. And so we really prayed into that. But it was so neat to be, you know, to really be pushed outside of our comfort zone to say, okay, how do I first of all talk to this person, and how then do I pray for them? And so I think for all of us, it was a good experience today.
Amen. Awesome.
So when we were praying for people in Walmart, there was this guy who was getting corn. I don't know why I remember that. But so then we asked him if we can pray for him. And then he said yes, because he had, like, arthritis in his neck, so he couldn't move it like that, only like that.
Yeah, that's all right.
And so then we prayed for him, and then he had a better day.
And he could move it? Could he move his leg some more?
A little bit more.
A little bit? Okay, that's awesome, though. That's awesome. I bet the Lord healed him even now. The Lord's healing him. Austin? That's awesome.
Evening. Well, okay, we went into Belt, and there was this lady. She was working there, and we walked by her. She said, good evening, and she was covering it up. So we went back. I made a beeline to her. They was all walking around, and I asked her, can I pray for you? She said, say what? And I said, can I pray for you? I said, I feel like you need praying for. She said, and she said, well, yes. I said, is there anything I can pray for you about? She said, yes, my hand and I got a sciatic nerve. And I said, all right. Well, I prayed for her. She said her hand, both, was totally healed.
Amen. Amen. Man, I love Austin. Boldness right there. It'll go for it. Awesome, awesome. He was going for it, yeah. Awesome, man. He's on fire. Y'all, what awesome tools, huh? How many of you are going, I'm leaving here, and tomorrow I'm going to approach people and pray for them? In everyday life, do you feel equipped in everyday life to go out and do this? Yeah, that was the goal here. I mean, that's for everybody, adults, youth, everybody, right? We're going to keep our eyes open, sniff out demonic oppression, and in Jesus' name, do something about it, right? And I've heard a couple of you say, I want to say this, not as a correction, but a little bit of a correction. I've heard several people say, and I healed, and I healed, and I know where your heart is, but let's make sure we get the wording right. We are in Christ, and we are the hand. Like, we're just the glove and where the hand meets, and we're letting Jesus do all the work. And in Jesus' name, all this has happened. So Jesus has healed them through us. So it really is important that we use the right language when we're giving. When you go out back to your churches and give testimonies, not I healed, I healed. I know where your heart is. Your heart is going, Jesus used me to heal, and I'm really pumped up about it. But let's make sure we say, and we just have the right mindset so other people don't get confused, that Jesus, who lives in me, and I'm resting in Christ, I'm in Christ, used me, and we saw this person healed, set free, spoke life to. Does that make sense? Yeah, all right, awesome. So Josh just got a little short thing he wants to share, like a minute or two.
So what's really cool about all of this is, like, this is why David was able to kill Goliath, because he was crazy enough to believe he could. And I'm sure when Goliath saw him, he kind of let his guard down. So even, like, you know, for adults, it can be harder. But for you guys going up to people and saying, can I pray for you? People are like, oh, they don't know that you have Jesus in them that can do some powerful stuff. And so it kind of, like, sneaks in there. And it's really, really cool. But I just wanted to say, I think it was – your name's Riley, right? In the glasses right there. What is your name? I didn't get it.
Charlie.
Sorry. I didn't ask. He was in the prophetic group that we did yesterday. Then do you remember what you said yesterday? Somewhat. Do you mind if I say it? Okay. So he said when we were giving words to people, he said, I don't have a word for somebody, but he had this on his heart. And he said that even in a storm, there's somewhere in there that's peaceful. And he talked about a hurricane. You know, in a hurricane, there's the eye of the storm where everything is peaceful and quiet and still. And when he said that last night, I didn't think much of it. I went home, tried to go to bed, stayed up for 2 hours because God just started speaking to me. But I just wanted to say that right now, all this stuff that's going on, it's like you're hopped up on Holy Spirit Mountain Dew. And it's awesome. And it is so good. But, you know, when you go home, there's going to be stuff, because we live in the world, there's going to be stuff that's going to come. There's going to be a storm, storms that come. And sometimes it's nothing that you've done. It's just circumstances happen and things happen. And just like the first night when Bishop spoke, about the disciples who were in the boat with Jesus. And Jesus said, we're going to go to the other side. And he knew they were going to make it there fine, so he took a nap because he was at peace. And a storm came, and all the disciples freaked out and ran to Jesus and said, you said we were going there. There's a storm. What are we going to do? And Jesus rebuked them, and he spoke to the storm, and the storm went away, and they were fine. You have Jesus inside of you. Like Bishop said, you're in Christ. He's right there. You don't have to run and find him like the disciples did in the boat. He's in you, inside of you. And when you go home, whenever something comes up, the biggest thing, the devil can't defeat Jesus. It's not going to happen. But he can try and lie to you and make you forget that Jesus can do it. And so when you go home, just remember when that storm comes, when anything comes, when circumstances come, just remember to say to Jesus right there with you, Lord, just peace come right now. And he will give you peace. And that storm, there will be calm in the middle of that. And it might even go away completely. But you will be at peace if you just stop and pause in the middle of that circumstance and remember to ask Jesus to be your peace right then, and you will be at peace. Amen.
Amen. So how many of you have had a good week? Raise your hands. All right, you can put your hands down. How many of you had real encounters with the Lord? Raise your hand again. Amen. That's what we wanted to see happen in your lives. We're going to pray for all of you again in just a minute. And we'll talk about that and explain that to you. We want to just do some impartation and some implantation, some things into your life, implant some things into your life, impart some things into your life, speak some short little one-word prophetic stuff into your life one more time. But I wanted to share this with you. There's a story in the scripture. I know that all of you have heard it before. It's when Jesus fed the 5,000. And when it had this situation where there were all these people, there were actually more than 5,000. There were 5,000 men. So that didn't count the number of wives that were there plus children. So there could have been as many as 15 or 20,000 people. And it was getting late in the day, and they didn't have any food. And the disciples were saying to Jesus, send them back home, because we don't have enough here to feed them. We don't have any food to give them. And Jesus said, it's too late in the day to send them home. What do we have? And one little boy that it says in the John passage, it says one lad, so one young boy, simply presented what he had, his sack lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the wording there in scripture is actually like 5 crackers and a couple of sardines. It was enough to feed one little boy. And even though the disciples were discussing among themselves, and these were guys who had been following Christ now for a while, they were deciding that this was an impossible situation, and they didn't have what it took to deal with it. And Jesus was testing them. It's as if one little boy was thinking, if I can just give what I have, it may not be much, but if I can get what I have into the hands of that man, he can do something with it. And here's what I wanted you to hear this week, and I hope you've discovered, that no matter how young you are, no matter how inadequate the enemy might try to make you feel, or how inferior he might try to make you feel, those are all lies. And those are all trying to keep you from understanding the truth about who you are in Christ. Because you're in Christ, your limitations are his limitations, and he has none. And just like that little boy, he gave what he had, though it didn't seem like much. He put all that he had into the hands of Jesus, and in the hands of Jesus, miracles happened. Not only was there enough to feed all those thousands of people, there were 12 baskets full left over. If you'll just keep giving, if you'll just wake up every morning and go, Lord, sometimes I don't feel like much, but what I have is yours. I'm in Christ. It's your story. It's your life. My little 5 loaves and 2 fish are yours. then Jesus can do the miraculous through you, no matter who you are, no matter how old you are, no matter what you might think about yourself. It's what he believes about himself who lives in you that matters. Do you hear me? It's irrelevant what you think about what you're capable of. What does Jesus think he's capable of, the Jesus who lives in you? You know, that feeling real prideful and arrogant and believing you can do everything, that's pride. But you know that believing you can't do anything, that you're so inadequate, you've got nothing to offer, that's pride too. That's all practicing self. All that matters is what is he able to do. And the story there about the five loaves and two fish is to encourage us that if we can give what we have, no matter what we think about it, into his hands, he can do the miraculous through us. He can live the miraculous life through us. So I just encourage you every day to wake up and go, Lord, my five loaves and two fish are yours. My life is yours. I thank you for doing the miraculous in me and through me today. And he'll do it. You with me? See, it's not the conference. It's the one that you encountered at the conference. And the one that you encountered at the conference goes back home with you. That's what matters. So it's not like, don't get home and go, oh man, I wish I could just be in that conference all the time. Or, gosh, I wish I could just hang out at Christ the King all the time. No. What you encountered was Jesus. And that Jesus is going to go home with you. It's the same Jesus. So every day, just wake up and go, Lord, my five loaves and two fish are yours. Thank you for what you're going to do through me today. And just watch him do it. And discover that he's the same Christ at home in the stuff that make up your everyday life as he is here at this conference. Amen? So how many are going to try to come next time we have one of these? Amen? And we'll bring friends. Just like Andrew's going to make these t-shirts. He's been telling me for a while, like, come for the food, stay for the ministry. That's right. All right, Rocks, you want to get this rocking and rolling? Yeah, you do it. You're the woman.
All right, so we are we're nearing the end of this thing, and so we want to send you guys out just speaking life and destiny over you. And this is for everybody here, not just the kids. And so we're going to do what's called a fire tunnel. So if I have talked to you as an adult to help with a fire tunnel, please come up here. We're going to get set up. And here's the deal with the fire tunnel. You're just going to walk through, and we're going to be speaking one word prophetic things over you. One word, team members who are coming up. One word, words of life over you. And this is just, we're just speaking destiny over you. We're speaking life over you. We're speaking into you.